Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single, even though you could lay me down on a basketball court, dribble on my head, and say, oh no, the earth is vibrating. My guest today is a phenomenal athlete and two-time WNBA champion and Olympic gold medalist known for her incredible work on the basketball court. She's also an author, and her new book, Dear Black Girls, is now available. It's Asia Wilson! Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, listen, I'm doing great. My intro was weird because I was like, oh no, I don't know what to say. And then I was like, well, basketball's a thing. Okay, Asia, when did you start playing basketball? Tell me about it.
Ooh, yes. I was a late bloomer, so I don't have the like story of like, oh, I was born and the basketball's in my hand and I was like, grew up with it. I probably started playing basketball when I was maybe, I want to say like 13 years old. But I wasn't really good at it. Like I was awful for my first 2 years until I was maybe like 15 years old, to where I was like, okay, I have some coordination here. It's pretty decent. I just did not like to sweat. So that kind of like stopped me from wanting to be active.
Fair. I get that. I too do not like to sweat even in my adult years. So you said you're a late bloomer. Would you say that you were a late bloomer in love?
Yes, I feel like I was. I feel like I was just like really to myself. I was kind of like, hey, if it comes to me, it comes to me. If it doesn't, cool. Especially at a young age, I wasn't really looking for a lot of different things. Like boys were cute. And I was also like growing up and I wanted to be tall and I'm like lanky and I was quirky. So I was still not in my glow up stage yet. So in my mind, I was like, no one wants me because I wouldn't want myself. So it was kind of like one of those things where I would like, I googly eyeball boys from afar, but it was never like, oh, let me show you guys what I'm working with.
But you seem so chill about it. You're like, if it comes, it comes. And oh boy, would I like to have just a little bit of chill. Ooh.
Exactly.
So wait, how were you tall in your youth?
No, I really wasn't. I probably didn't hit my growth spurt until maybe I was like a sophomore in high school. And I always gauged my height to my mom. And my mom was like 5'9", 5'10". And I like was slowly starting to like wear her shoes a little bit and like slowly starting to see the top of her head. Like that's where I was like, okay, I'm starting to get tall. But other than that, like I was really kind of normal for the most part. And then of course, when I get to high school, it's like, okay, here comes her growth spurt. And now my clothes are fitting weird and I'm like, I'm looking weird. And I have thin eyebrows at the time and I had baby teeth. And so it was just like struggling.
Honestly, what a funny visual. Like, just a very tall person with little eyebrows and little teeth, but just, like, very, very tall. So was that, like, good for dating or bad for dating? Were the gentlemen, like, too tall?
I feel like I was that type of girl where they were like, oh, but she's cool. Like, she's chill. She's cool mm-hmm. to be around. You know, they never really say, like, oh, no, never. It was more so like, she's a cool person. Like, her personality is good. So I think it was a healthy balance. Like, it could have been I was tall. And, like, guys at that time were probably like, oh, I wouldn't imagine dating a girl that's, like, taller than me. Mm-hmm. And I do not like short kings. Sorry.
No.
I can't date anyone shorter than me. I feel like there's too many tall men in the world for me to even settle to that. So I never settled for a small king. And I feel like at that point of my life and, like, growing up in high school, I don't think they ever could do a taller woman or a woman that looked at them uh-huh. eye to eye. So I think it didn't help me in that way. But then I was a cool person to be around. So it was kind of like, okay, like, I could maybe put up with you.
Wait, how tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
Oh, yeah, that's pretty tall. Pretty tall. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. Have you run into, because there's a bunch of videos on, like, Instagram of this man, he's, like, in Venice or, like, Santa Monica or whatever, and he's like, how tall are you? And these guys are like, 6'2", and he's like, can I measure you? And they're like, no. And some of them are like, sure. All the shorter ones are like, no, please don't measure me. All right, fine. And then it's like, dude, you're 5'8". So, like, have you ever gone out with someone who said that they were, like, 6'4", 6'5", and you get on the date and you're like,
No, yeah, I didn't really have anyone that lied about their height. I did have, like, I did kind of, I won't even say date because I did not like using that word. It was always kind of like, not a friends with benefits, but kind of like, I'm comfortable with you. Like, you cool. I can maybe be seen out with you, but, like, we don't go together. So, like, that was one instant where I was like, okay, like, we're the same height. Like, I couldn't wear heels around you. So it was like, we're the same height, cool, but yeah, I've never really kind of got the, never really been lied to when it came to height.
Really? I find that so funny because I feel like on dating, are you on the apps?
No, I'm not on the apps. No, man.
Okay. We're meeting the people in person. Okay, yeah. So you can verify and validate the height. Because I feel like I've gone out with guys where I, like, looked at their height and it said, like, 6 foot. And then we get on the date and I'm like, but I can see into your eyes. That's not 6 foot. I'm not 6 foot. I'm pretty little.
Exactly. Like, you get a girl spurt. You're like, oh, I'm 6 feet.
I guess I'm much taller than I thought I was. Wait, how are you? Are you in a relationship now?
Yes, I am in. I'm very happy at where I am. I'm loving where I am. I'm very just at peace.
How did you meet?
Oh, how do we meet? I can't give you all the tea, but just know that, like, you got to wait your time. Like, I feel like this is God sent. He's like, this is you. This is your match. And you got to be happy in that. So I feel like that is just, like, a beautiful thing for me. And I love it. I'm kind of like, you know, you're like, dang, I waited long enough. But mm-hmm. it's like one of those moments where I'm very, like, just happy and at peace at where I am. I'm comfortable. But yet he makes me uncomfortable. And I really can appreciate that.
I like that. Sounds like he challenges you, and that sounds nice and healthy. My God, I'm just like, when is my time? I just had a tarot card reading where I specifically asked, I was like, when is the next person? And then they drew the devil card, and I was like, wait, what? And they were like, yeah, it's going to look bad for a minute. And I was like, this is simply not what I want. This is not the treat I asked for. I don't want to hear about the devil coming for me. That's rude.
Yeah, no. But at least that means sunshine's coming after. Like, the devil can't stay forever. You're going to break through. And I feel like that's kind of maybe how you can look at it. You got to look at it like, okay, I may go through this thunderstorm, but that sunshine, that rainbow, it's going to be there.
You know what, Asia? You're right. That's what they said during the reading. They were like, it's not all bad. It does get better. And I'm like, but when? And they're like, we can't look that far into the future. And I said, okay. So you played, did you play in Europe or just your dad? Your dad played for 10 years overseas?
Yes, my dad played in Sweden for majority of his overseas career. Yep, he played in Europe.
Did you get to go to Sweden or were you back
here? No, I was not even born yet. I was like, maybe a thought. I think my mom was maybe pregnant with me for his last couple of years. Even then, I think it was just when he was coaching. But no, I was never really, wasn't there vibing out in Sweden.
You were like, truly not even a little morsel on this earth yet. But you didn't play overseas at all, no?
I played in China for maybe like not even 2 years after my rookie year. And yeah, I got hurt and I was just like, I'm good. Like, this isn't, let me try something else. And I got an amazing team that helped me get my coin over here in the States and I haven't left since.
What was it like playing in China? Because I know in China, the people of the black persuasion are pretty far and few in between. And then you're also a taller black. What a wild way to say that. You're a taller black. Well, you're a taller black person. Was that weird? And did people like stop you to take pictures and stuff?
Very weird. I mean, my dad was over there actually with me. And I remember us being in the mall and all of a sudden all these people started coming around us and we're just there eating. And my dad was like, what's going on? And I was like, I think we are like a show. I think we're the museum for them. They're like in awe of us. And it was it was a little culture shock for me. It was a lot of people. And like, we were in a small town and a small town to them is like 2 million people, if that. And so it was a little different. But the thing that I love about overseas basketball is that it has no gender. I feel like in the United States, it's very like men, women, like, rah-rah. But like overseas, it's kind of like, no, we love the game of basketball and we love the way that it's played and we're going to support it no matter what. So it was like sold out arenas, like everyone came in to watch us play. And so like the feel of that, it was pretty cool.
That's exciting. I love that. Did you date at all when you were in China or no?
I was in a relationship, yes. And it was
with someone in China or someone back here?
No, someone in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, no, I was not. I didn't deal with anything over there, but I was in a relationship at that time. It was a lot of FaceTimes, obviously, and at times where like I was going to sleep and he was getting up for school, I think, at the time. So it was very like we could only talk at like a certain amount of hours because by the time I'm waking up and going through a practice, he's already about to go back to sleep. So it was very, very hard just to navigate through that. And obviously, like, everyone's cuddles. Everybody wants to be around somebody and, like, hug. And, like, particularly if you're just overseas. And it's not easy. I don't think it gets talked about for us as women that have to sometimes play overseas. Like, that's a long season of being away from your loved ones. And so it's like sometimes you will be in the dumps and you may have that season of depression and like you want that person, your person to be there and they can't. So it's hard. But yeah, after that, we kind of went our separate ways and I wish nothing but the best for him. But yeah, it was a moment where I was definitely like, long distance is different. I don't see how people do it.
I don't know how people do it either. Also, I love how diplomatic you are. I wish them the best. I never wish exes the best. I say, I hope you're sat. No, I'm kidding. I also wish them the best. Yeah. You have nails. Is it hard to do basketball with nails?
So I just got them short for the season. So yeah, this is like my short basketball playing nails.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes in the off season, I do go a little long. I've broken not as many as I thought I would. It seems like I only break them in like big games when I'm like holding a trophy or something. And I'm like, of course my thumb's about to be everywhere. But I'm a glam girl. I love getting my lashes done, my nails done, my brows, hair, all that. I have to be snatched sometimes.
That's how I feel. I like to look in the mirror and be like, look at her. She's so pretty. Sometimes I'll just put on makeup for the sake of putting on makeup and being like, okay, well, I guess I'll take it right off and go to sleep. It is midnight.
Yes.
Also, here's another, wait, how long is your season? How long is the basketball season? I don't know anything about sports.
No, it's fine. I'm here. I got you, girl. Our season it starts in May. Well, the draft is this month, April, and then it starts in May, and then you'll probably play until October. But year is a special year because the Olympics is right in the middle of our season. So it's a little longer. We may run, but it doesn't really go over October. It may just go instead of 2 weeks into October, it might be three. But it's pretty much the summer. We have a lot of fun going to all these different places. But yeah, it's Olympic year. So what was used to be our all-star break will now be Olympic break. So we'll head over to Paris and compete for a gold medal.
Wait, so do you get to just be on the Olympic team? How does that work?
So it's crazy because I'm currently here in Cleveland competing. So we have these different training camps that we go to. And then they come out with a 12-player roster. I think maybe somewhere before, Like, I think June, maybe. I don't even know when the list comes out, but you just better hope you're on it. But we do these different camps, and we have a committee that overlooks everything, and they just kind of figure out who they want to be on the team, who's a good teammate, who's obviously great at putting the basketball in the hole, and go from there. But it's been great so far. I won my first one in 2021 in Tokyo. So, yeah, it's been good.
Okay, so you won your first gold medal in 2021. Were you in a relationship then or no?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so all these athletes get to like mingle around and everyone is like hot. What is that like? Like, is like...
I mean, I guess because it was COVID that it really wasn't really anything different. Like, we were kind of used to being in that quarantine space of just kicking it. But I think it's also a beautiful thing to see where a lot of people try to pin us against each other. Like, they really try to be like, oh, well, the NBA is just doing this for the WNBA because they need the money and da-da-da-da. But, like, in actuality, it is like a brother and a sisterhood that we really kind of link together. And we're really cool. And to realize that we can all be normal in our space, because I feel like as professional athletes, we have to put that mask on and be this certain person. But then when you're surrounded by people that are like-minded, you're kind of like, I can kind of be free. I can take that mask off and be myself and play video games and just kick it and talk about all of our experiences in the locker room. So it's been pretty cool. I don't think it got too crazy at all, but yeah.
But like, do the other sports like co-mingle? Like, were you hanging out with divers and like gymnasts?
So they were actually in the village. We didn't have an opportunity to stay in the village. So we weren't around other sports until opening ceremony. That was the time where we all really got to see the different sports and like obviously our country. So it was pretty cool to just really be like, no, we're the best athletes for the United States. Like, best athletes in the world right here. And we're all wearing the same like Polo Ralph Lauren outfit. And it's like, we have these... It was so hot. It was ridiculously hot. I was almost sweating through my denim jeans, and that says a lot. but it was pretty cool just to see kind of like everyone just really come together and like be fans of us. And it's like, oh my God, I used to watch you guys like run in track, or I used to like see you guys on the sand volleyball like pits. So it's kind of cool to really see everybody come together.
I love that you were like, the athletics of it all, the sports of it all. And I'm truly so horny that I'm like, did you all fuck? I would have just been like, oh, wow, teach me about this sport. Oh, my God. Your little house is next to mine in the village. Maybe we'll like see each other later. Did you have roommates? At the village? Or no, you didn't stay at the village. So
yeah, we were just us. Like, it was just really just... solo dolo.
That, and then you did that after playing in the bubble, right?
Yes. So it was like, it was the following year. So we had a pretty much normal season heading into the Olympics that year, but it was definitely kind of fresh. It was like the first thing everyone was doing that involved a lot of other people post COVID. So still people were kind of like, I don't want to be the one to get COVID and get sent back or sent in my room. So everyone was like, hey, let's be cautious here.
What was it like? Because there was no, I want to say audience, but that's not what spectators. There were no spectators at the bubble.
Yeah, no, it wasn't at all, particularly in the Olympics. It was no one. It was quiet. I mean, opening ceremony, it was no one in the seats. So you're just like waving like, hey, mom, hopefully you see me on TV. And then in the bubble, yeah, it was just, we were playing in front of curtains. It was really just like an awkward feel because you just couldn't, people could hear everything. Mm-hmm. It was just really just like cringy.
Yeah, that sounds really wild. It's like, did it feel like a practice, or did it feel like a, what's it called? Like a dress rehearsal type feel?
It was just, yeah, it kind of just gave like a weird vibe. Like, yeah, we are all just here. It kind of felt like a camp. Like, we all just had camp days. Like, you just go to camp, you play your games, and you go home. Like, that was really pretty much everything. And it was just, I missed the thing. You never know how much you miss something until it's gone, obviously. And I was like, dang, like, I miss the hecklers. I miss booing. I wish the cheering was here because I want it. And so when it's gone, it's like, dang, we have to create our own energy. You have to like bring it every single day. And sometimes we rely on the fans to like hype us up. So when you don't have that, you're like, I got to go play against this team again. Mm-hmm. We're in the same uniform. Like, ugh.
With nobody there. And it's just like,
no
okay,
one to tell me that I'm good or bad.
Again.
Right.
I played basketball just a little bit. Yes. In, what was it? Middle school? I think it was. I don't know. It was so hard. The only good thing I can do is box out because I got a fat ass.
Period.
But like the whole running back and forth, my God, that shit's hard. Oh.
I feel you. Like I'm right there with you. I feel like we can't get like distracted by the accolades. That up and down for 94 feet gets exhausting. And sometimes I look at the stat sheet and I'm like, how did I even do that? If you asked me to do this without wearing an Aces uniform, I would probably laugh in your face.
What position do you play?
I am a power forward, so I'm not too much of the big centers, but I'm also not like the guards. So I'm right in between. I can do a little bit. I try to do a little bit of everything.
Wait, that means you're good at boxing out, right? If you're a power forward?
Yes.
I think I was a power forward.
Yes.
I think. I really don't remember. I just remember being like, can we just stay here for a little bit? Oh, how about, you know, you just try to hit the hoop again, and then we just rest for a little bit before running all the way back to the other side. Oh.
I like that idea.
It's just so much running. I can't believe it's like track and field, and then you have to dribble, and then it's like double dribbles, and it's like, oh my God. It's a lot, but it's exciting.
It is. It's my passion. I love it.
Real quick, we have to take a break. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. Okay, so after you got in the WNBA, were you in a relationship when you got into the WNBA?
Yes. Yes, I was. Oh, you're taking me back. I'm like thinking about, was I? Yes, I was. Yes, I was in a relationship.
Did success change the relationship at all?
That's a good question. I guess you can say yes. Because, but at the same time, I feel like I didn't see myself as being that successful at the time. But it was just certain things where I would think back to where my mom was just like, you know, not everybody can go with you. And it's just one of those places where I was like, I got love for you. Like, I promise you, this is no hard feelings. But like, I'm trying to go somewhere where I really don't need anyone else. And it's and it's one of those things where it's like, it's not you, it's me. But like, for real, like, honestly, it was one of those things where I was like, I started to prioritize a lot of different things before me. And I lost myself in that. And I feel like I probably still am someone that falls in love with the potential of someone instead of seeing the person straight up. So I wouldn't say success was like, oh, the reason, like, oh, you're getting all this, you're gone. It was more so like that potential that I saw in you started to not be realistic. And I had to be real with myself. And that moment, I was just like, all right, I think it's time for me to kind of split my ways. But it was cool for the most part. I mean, at the time, I was probably like, obviously, I felt like I was like on 10. So it was like, period. But then I started to really be real with myself.
I get that. I sometimes, most of the time, fall in love with someone's potential.
Yeah.
And I'm like, one day you'll get this, one day. And then it's like, you wake up one day and you go, huh, I don't know if their one day is going to ever come, but my one day has. So maybe it is time for me to like move on in a graceful way.
Yeah.
But that's also, it's just like hard to realize. What your mom's saying, you can't take everyone with you. I love that so much because it's very true. Like, you can have a lot of love for somebody, but, you know, sometimes it's not meant to be.
Yes. And that's the hard part because you're like, dang, like, I wish you well. I don't want to make you seem like I'm like cutting you off or doing this. But it's like, I just, where I want to go and where I see myself, it doesn't involve a lot of people. And sometimes it's just me and reflecting within myself and saying like, what do I want to do? How can I better myself? And sometimes you just can't take everybody with you. So yeah, it's been hard. It's been a long journey, but I'm finally like at peace with that. And I was happy that I could do that. It was about time, you know?
I get that. Okay. When you got your first paycheck from the WNBA, do you remember the first thing you bought? When I got my first check for something where I was like, oh, I have extra money, I bought a purple Michael Kors bag that I still have. It was like $280. And I was like, I can't believe I'm spending $280 on a purse. But I still have it. And I look at it and I'm like, yes, I did that. I bought that for myself. Do you have anything like that?
Oh, mine is definitely not as cool and cute. It's actually the MacBook that I'm on now. It was my laptop where I'm like, yes, I finally have a MacBook. Like, stop playing with me. It's the Air. Like, it's like the small little, it's thin. Like, it's the one I see everywhere on the campaign. So yeah, that was my first big purchase. Like, I was shaking going into Apple because that was like my first time. I was like, I don't belong up in here. I go to T-Mobile, get my phone, and I'm out. Like, so when it was going to like Apple stores, I was like, oh my God, Steve Jobs is about to come get me because somebody help me. So yeah, I would shake my mom. I remember being on the phone with my parents. They're like, just go in there. You would think I was going into like a sex shop. Like, just go in there. You good. And I'm like, okay. So yeah.
It is funny though, when you're like, okay, I don't normally spend this much money all at once. And you're like, I'm going to give you all of this money all at once. You're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act. I truly don't know what to do.
Yes, yes.
And I carried the shit out of that bag. I carried that bag everywhere.
As you
I wouldn't
should.
Let people touch it. I would like get another seat at a restaurant to be like, my purse needs its own seat, please.
That's like, yeah, I was the same. I was waiting for the bank to like hit me with the fraud text message.
I was like, bitch, what you doing?
I'm in clear. I promise it's me. So yes.
Do you remember like the most romantic thing anyone's ever done for you?
See, like I feel like I'm a sap. Like I just like the most romantic thing to me is just like the thought, like just having like an edible arrangement waiting for me, like in my locker, or in my house. Like that is like so romantic to me because it's thoughtful. Like you did not have to do that. So I think that was pretty much the most romantic thing is to think, because I'm a nosy person. Like I know a lot of surprises. I could see a lot of things coming from a mile away because I'm like in the business. Mm-hmm. So like when something gets under, like it gets past me, I'm like, that is pretty romantic and good job. Well done. Because I didn't see that one coming.
I also love that you said an edible arrangement. Always thinking about eating healthy. You said you surprised me with fruit and flowers. Okay. When you're on the road, do you get to fly private? Is that a wild question to ask?
No, it's not a wild question to ask. And no, we do not get to fly private. We don't get to fly private until playoffs. I think until the finals, like last, they're like, all right, here you go. You're almost done. So here. So, and it's like the travel time is quick. So we would need to be there, obviously, like just to be rested. So yeah, but other than that, no, we are on commercial flights this year. We're going to keep manifesting that it's going to change.
Yes, manifest those private flights. What is it like traveling? So how long have you been on the current team that you're on right now?
Well, I was drafted to this team. So this will be my seventh year, I want to say. Yes, seventh year. So yeah, it's been a minute.
And has it been the same teammates the whole time or no?
I think it's been the same, like recently for maybe the last 3 years. But the first four, it's been a big difference. So we've gotten a lot more. We weren't the best. So we continue to get like draft picks. So, and like people retire and people just kind of change or go to a different team. But for the most part, the core that we have now has been together for a good 3 years.
Okay. Are they like your besties? Do you guys like gab?
They are my besties. They're literally my sisters. Some days I can't stand them. Some days I can't live without them. Like, I'm so excited to see them coming into training camp. But if you would have asked me this in November, I would have been like, I cannot stand those women. Keep me away from them. So they're my sisters. They're my besties. We do a lot of things together. Like, our team chemistry is immaculate. I feel like it's very hard to match it because we just... We're very like, we're not clicky, but we're like, no, these are homegirls. Like, she down, I'm down. So, we do kind of, our locker room is, oh my gosh, it's a wild place to be in. It's a lot. Sometimes we got to warn our newcomers, but it's a ton of fun.
Have you ever seen the movie Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg, where she plays the head coach of the New York Knicks?
No, I have not seen that movie before.
Okay. Fair. Very few people have seen this movie, but I was like, is it really what it's like to be in professional basketball? But alas, you've never seen it. What's like, do you remember like your first kiss? You said that you were a late-ish bloomer. So do you remember when that first kiss was?
I had to be like eighth grade, maybe.
That's not That's not late. I think that's an on-time bloomer.
Oh, really? Thank you for that. I feel like all my friends were like, girl, you late. Like, we passed that. You still on first base. But yeah, I think it was eighth grade. Maybe I had to do it before high school. I wasn't that corny. But but yeah, it was just there, and we were just kind of like kicking it. I think, yeah, it was nothing really crazy. It wasn't like spectacular like it is in the movies.
I feel like every first kiss is very much like, well, that was it. That's a thing. Okay, goodbye. Yeah, my first kiss, I remember it just being like, okay. And I was like, oh, there was no sparks.
Right, no fireworks, no like my leg kicking up, like none of that.
Yeah, none of that shit. You're just like, okay. Would you say that you are a serial monogamist or a person who spends some time being single?
I feel like I've spent some time being single. I like to kind of be by myself. I like just like... kind of just chilling. That's my biggest thing. It's like, I'm not really going to be out and about like that. You're not, if you catch me out, it's kind of like, oh, hey, what's up? But I'm really to myself. Like, my teammates will go out and I'm like, I'm cool. Like, I can't deal with a lot of people, let alone in my space. So yeah, I feel like I kind of give myself time to be single, because that's a lot. I don't think people really think about when you're in a relationship, like everything, it really goes from me to we. And that is a lot for a person that's so used to me. So like, when it is, when I do like break off or when it happens or whatever, I have to give myself some time just to kind of get used to being me again. Mm-hmm. And then I can realize, okay, am I ready to kind of welcome in that we space? So yeah, I do kind of chill out. And then, like I said, if it comes, comes. If it goes, goes. Cool. I'm happy at where I am. I got my puppies, so I'm good.
Oh, what kind of puppy?
I have Australian Shepherds mixed with poodles. They're mini.
Oh, no. That's so fucking cute.
Yeah. Two boys, Ace and Deuce. They have my whole heart.
That's so cute. I also just love how chill you are. And I love that you were like, oh, in between relationships, I like to like kind of root myself and feel me again and feel what it's like to be in my body by myself again. And I think that's really important for people because I have friends where I'm like, how are you jumping from person to person? Who are you? Like, do you know who you are? Like, don't you want just like silence a little bit?
Yes.
And in this era of me being single, I am now enjoying that I don't have anybody to like answer to or be like, oh, I'm thinking about doing this thing. I can just like leave town. I have to, you know, find someone to take care of my dog, but I can just leave town and not check in, not have to call anyone when I'm out of town.
Right.
And it's funny because at first I was like, oh man, I want that. I want to like have, you know, a home base to like call or whatever. But now I'm just really enjoying being single. And I think that's something I needed before I try to dive into something else.
Yeah, it's big. It's huge because I feel like that also allows you to then, when that time is ready, to then give what you know you can give to that person. And I think that's why I enjoy it the most, because I'm like, okay, if I know I'm ready from within, like now I can wholeheartedly give you what I've been trying to build and grow, and hopefully you protect it and take care of it. And that's what I love about just kind of like the companionship of it all. It's just like, okay, now we can meet in the middle. Like, we're not perfect. I promise you, I'm going to fuck up a lot. Like, it's going to be crazy. I'm going to cry. My emotions is all over the place, especially in season. But it's kind of like, but that's what you're here for. Like, that's what you're supposed to kind of take care of that other side. But I feel like I would never do that if I didn't have that time to myself to really gather myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A thing I'm like working on alone is like telling people how I feel in the moment. I have such a hard time doing it. Like, if someone hurts my feelings, I'm very good at being like, let's get another drink. I'm fine. And now I'm trying to be like, okay, that did hurt my feelings. And the way I can articulate it is like, it's not, you know, it's not, I'm not commenting on you as a person, but I really didn't love what was just said. And I'm feeling a little certain way. And I have such a hard time doing it. And in a relationship, I think that's like super invaluable to be able to say how you feel in the moment, or say how you feel 2 days down the line. Be like, that thing you said, it's just, I've been holding it. And I'm trying to do it more with friends so I can like bring it into a relationship. You seem so fucking grounded. How did this happen?
I mean, between my parents and between just the people that I have in my life currently and that have been through it, that was kind of like my lessons. I feel like I've just kind of really gotten to with myself and knew exactly what I wanted, what I didn't want. And sometimes it hurts. It really does hurt because it's like, you want the best. Like, you're like, come on, I really want this. Like, we were rooting for you. Like, come on. And then it's like crash and burn. And then I just felt like I got so tired of just being stuck in that crash and burn stage that I just really kind of got in tune with myself. And I prayed a lot. And I was just like, what am I missing? What do I need more of? Who can I give to? Like, that's just me. And then later on, as time went by, and like I said, I just kind of let it go. And then it's just like, here you are. Like, this is who you can be happy with. This is who you can be yourself with. And then I turned to my parents and they're just like, hey, you look good. Like, you're looking like you're just yourself. So go for it. And so I think that's kind of where it comes from. It's just learning those lessons and then being like, this is me. Like, and also communicating wasn't my best thing. Like, I wasn't really a good communicator. It's crazy because I'm like, in the locker room, I could talk to my teammates like that. I'm like, yes. But then when it comes to a guy, I'm like, oh, because I don't know how that will make you feel, but I know how it makes me feel. And I don't know how to communicate that to you. So that learning part for me and finding someone like that, that I can trust to be like, I can really take you through this step by step and we can communicate together. It's been fun to kind of watch it grow.
Yeah. The whole communication thing for me is hard because I'm like, what if I tell you how I feel and you leave? And then my therapist was like, well, if they leave, they leave. you don't own them. Also, isn't that great? Isn't that so nice that you said how you felt and they couldn't handle it, so they left because I couldn't meet you halfway? That means that's not your person. And I was like, oh my God, it makes sense, lady, but like,
right.
Still hurts.
Yes, yes, it is not the easiest thing, but we learn and we grow and we go from there.
Yeah. Real quick, we have to take another break.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. And we're back. You mentioned earlier that sometimes your teammates like go out and stuff. That's wild to me when your whole thing is like, I have to play basketball for however long a game is, and I'm going to go out right before doing. Like, that's so wild. I barely do physical activity, and if I drink the night before I do a physical activity, I'm bad.
It may not be right before, but they, like, we definitely just kind of, we're still human. Like, we're still going to do a little, we're still going to be out and about. I just get annoyed easily, and I'm just very, I'm a homebody. So they know, like, if I come out, it's like special occasion, and I'm the one where I'm like, if you're rolling with me, we leaving at this time. Like, get ready. So, like, they really kind of utilize. They're like, okay, Asia's coming out. Let's utilize her time right now. So they're always, like, a lot of fun just to kind of hold my hand as I go through there, because I'm like, I ain't trying to be here, but for you guys, I'm down for it.
For you, I'll get out of my bed and put on something nice. When y'all go out together, you're like a bunch of tall people, I would imagine. Do people go, ooh, are you basketball players? And then do they give you free shit?
Yes. Yes. And especially just being in Vegas, like when I tell you, Vegas shows us so much love, and they showed us love before like winning championships, which I am forever grateful for. But they show us so much love. They make sure that we're good. They shout us out and they're like, hey, like these are the queens of Vegas right here. Like y'all are in the midst of some greatness. So like act accordingly. So it's pretty cool to kind of have that feeling. In the city of this entertainment. Like, you could be doing a million things in Vegas, but we have a fan base that sells out our crowd a lot of games. And I'm like, y'all could be anywhere, but you guys are here rooting and cheering for us. So we've had a lot of fun in the city.
I love that. So is your home base Vegas?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you live, like, in... Obviously, you don't live on the Strip. That would be insane.
I did for my first couple
of years.
You did? Yes.
You lived on the Strip.
Yes, I lived literally. It was like a walkway to MGM. I don't know how familiar you are with Vegas. Yeah, you're familiar with Vegas.
I've been a couple times.
Yeah, it's like literally, it was one where it's not a casino inside of it. So it's kind of like calmer. But it was like Bachelorette City, like Bachelorette City. Like, it was like, no, every time I saw the girls with the shirts, it's like, I'm the crazy one. I'm the chaperone. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get to my room. Like, I'm just trying to get to my apartment.
Go to sleep. Oh my God.
I lived for a couple of years and then I finally moved off and it was just like a whole nother world. I'm like, whew, peace.
Why was I doing this? I feel like living on the Strip is like living in Times Square. It's like, good Lord, seems insane. Just truly wild. Has anything wild happened during games? Because I feel like people in Vegas are like, I'm going to get the drunkest I've ever been in my whole life tonight.
Yes, but then I feel like that's like the norm, so it's not wild. I would say we had an earthquake that was literally going on during our game, and I thought that Beyonce came to our game. So, I mean, everyone was like, oh, like they were screaming. So I was like, girl, the queen is here. Whole time, the Jumbotron's like shaking above my point guard, and she's trying to call a play, and we're like, oh my God, it's an earthquake. So we had to cancel the game, and it was just a hot mess. But yeah, I was very disappointed that Beyonce was not there, but it was like an earthquake.
I truly love that you felt rumblings and saw things shaking, and you were like, Beyonce! But it's Vegas. It could have been Beyonce.
Right. I can't put anything past Vegas. So I'm like, it's Beyonce. And then when they said it was an earthquake, I was very disappointed.
No, I fully get that. How do you feel about Cowboy Carter?
I have not finished it yet.
Okay.
But so far, so good. I would say I've skipped a couple songs, and I normally don't skip a Beyonce album.
Okay.
But sometimes I'm like, ugh, I can't listen to that right now. I feel like you got to be in a different setting to like listen to it. And I normally listen to it if I'm like working out or on my way to a workout. And sometimes I'm like, ugh, I don't need that vibe right now. But I'm not finished yet. But it's Queen Bee, so I like it so far.
I'll tell you something. I'm going to the hoedown. I love it. Yaya is one of my favorite songs. Yes. It's so good.
Yes.
When I heard the ding, ding, I was like, these boots are made for walking. Because I loved that song when I was a kid. It was just like the sassiest song I could think of.
Yes.
And I just loved it. And I was like, I can't believe she's sampling Nancy Sinatra. I've liked Cowboy Carter. I'm having a good time. Asia, yes. I have a question. Okay. Do you have any advice for single people out there?
I would have to say, particularly for the single woman, don't be afraid to shoot your own shot. Like, I feel like we're stuck into this phase of like, well, we're just waiting, like sit around and wait. But I'm like, if you feel it, go for it. Like, go for it 100% because you never know. There's a lot of guys that are just equally as shy as we are. So you got to give yourself a chance. But at the same time, don't force it. Don't force it at all. Like, what is for you will be for you. And just know that, like, the path that you're on, just keep it. You're going to find the right person. Your soulmate is waiting for you at the end of the rainbow. And just have fun with it.
Oh, that's so nice. You have an older brother named Ronaldo. Is he single?
I think he is single. Last time I checked, he is single.
Okay, tell him about me. Tell him you met this really nice lady who's single and she has a nice time.
I got you. I'm loving you shooting your shot right now. I got you. Yeah, I got you, girl.
You said shoot there my own shot and I'm doing it.
There it is. There it is.
You were also named one of Forbes' 30 Under 30. What did that feel like? Was that like, were you like, made it?
Yes, I was just like, I am on the Forbes list. Everybody get out my way. Like, it does not matter what y'all talking about. I was on a Forbes list. Like, stop talking. But I do wish that I was on it when we weren't, like, in COVID, if that makes sense. Because I wanted to kind of go, because we just did a virtual kind of, like, meet and greet with everyone else on the list. But I was like, oh, I would love to, like, go and actually network with these people and, like, kind of get their, pick their brain. But I'm definitely blessed. It's something that they can't take away from me. So I'm happy there.
I can imagine that, like, COVID did take away a lot of stuff from people. It never occurred to me that, like, high school seniors or, like, college seniors, like, missed seasons of their sports and shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that was robbed from them. And I was like, oh, yeah, the whole thing fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's not good.
At all.
You wrote a book, Dear Black Girls. What's it about?
Yes, Dear Black Girls is really a book, a journey of how, well, a journal, really, of how I just navigated my life and how I was shooting myself and how I became who I am. It's just like, it's not a telling people what to do or how you should be. It's more so of like, this is my life. This is the human side of Asia that not a lot of people can see because they normally just see me in a uniform. And it was just like, a lot of different stories, like dealing with racism, dealing with grief, happiness as well. Winning, when success is kind of lonely, you're kind of, you don't know, you can't figure it out sometimes and you lose yourself in that. But it's a book of just guiding young people particularly, but also Black women, because obviously I can relate to them on a very personal level, of just like being true to ourselves and giving ourselves some grace and understanding that this world is not nice, which means we don't have to be nice. We can still be true to ourselves. And I had a lot of fun writing it and also reading it. I did an audiobook as well.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I wrote a book, but it has more pictures than it does words. Anyway, so when you spoke about racism, were you talking about being one of the few Black students in your school growing up? Is that like the racism you faced?
Yeah, I went to a private school for 12 years, and it was not a lot of Black people at all, let alone the Black woman or Black young girl. So yeah, it was a lot of different instances where I'm just like, no one looks like me. And no one can relate to me. And I don't know how I feel about that. And I had a lot of instances where it was just like, you're cool, but my parents don't like you. And so it's kind of like, I'm a young girl and we're friends. And I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, huh? Like, it was very, so my parents kind of had that talk. And I even said in the book, I was like, you know, Black boys get the talk all the time. Like the police talk, sex talk, everything. But the young Black girl doesn't really get that. It's kind of like, good luck, girl. Do your thing, but watch your back. And it's like, no, we need that talk too. Like, we're navigating the world as well. So yeah, it's a lot of ups and downs of my life, but it made me who I am today.
I like that you speak about that, because I too grew up in a town of a bunch of white people, where me and my sister were like the few Black kids.
Yeah.
And it was like a weird talk with my mother, where she's like, you know, boys might not bring you home because of their parents or this, that, and the other. And you're just like, wait, what?
Right.
And it's a wild thing, because I feel like I was an other and it felt like the majority, like the white kids, didn't ever have to have that conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, you might not be accepted in this group, because it's like, well, they're the majority. So like,
why not?
That's the norm.
right.
And it is a very weird way to like have to present yourself to the world, being like, oh, I might just be rejected because of just literally the way I was born and I can't change that.
Yes. I was like, we're really just like a double minority. I'm a woman and I'm a Black woman. Like, it's just like, girl, good luck navigating this crazy world, because you're not like doing a bunch of levels. It's like, all right, cool.
And then to add on that, you had dyslexia. So was that hard, or was it like a thing where it was like, oh, I'm having trouble with reading because I have dyslexia? Or was it like, we don't know what's going on?
It was very hard. It was one of those moments where it was just like, I tried and I studied so hard and I worked so hard. And then when I would get into the classroom, it was like, I didn't even know that I was like reading the wrong subject. And for me, it was hard for my family, because it was hard for me to be vocal about it, because I'm just like, I don't know what's going on, Mom. I promise you, I'm looking at the material. Like, we're literally studying it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then my parents are like, well, you're just being lazy. Like, start doing your work. Work harder. And I'm like, I am. And then that's when I finally, they was just like, okay, Asia, we're going to get you tested for a learning disability. And I remember doing all those courses, and I'm just like, oh, my God, just tell me what's wrong with me. And then finally, they said that I was diagnosed with dyslexia. And from there, my whole life changed, because I was just like, well, now I'm this high profile athlete. Does the world need to know? But my teachers need to know. Do I tell my friends? I don't want people to think I can't read. So I was just like really battling with myself. Like, what do I do? Where am I? Like, what do I need to say? And then slowly I just started to read a lot more. My coach made me read scriptures. Like, she was just like, no, we're going to help you be a lot better. Like, it's no cure, but you're definitely going to be more comfortable. And then once I got that, I was like, you know what? Every child needs these resources. So that's when I started my foundation. And I'm just like, let's get these resources out to these young kids to make sure they understand that this isn't just a disability that's going to hold you back from success. Like, you can live it and be true to you. So it was a struggle in the beginning, but now I live it and I love it. I kind of make jokes about it too. So it's kind of good. I lighten the mood.
I get it. I grew up with ADHD and everyone was like, why can't she concentrate? Why doesn't she just do her work? And I truly couldn't be like, I just can't. Like, I physically cannot sit here and do this work. I physically cannot sit here and concentrate on this. And I didn't find out till I was like way older. But like, growing up and then being an adult, and I'm like, so wait, everyone thought I was just lazy? Like, the whole thing about being a kid is, like, obey adults. Like, that's what you're told as a kid. So you're like, that's all I want to do. So it's like, when you can't, let's look deeper and try to, maybe it is a learning disability. Maybe it is dyslexia or ADHD or whatever. It's like, I truly felt like people were like, oh, you woke up today and you were like, you're not going to listen. And I'm like, no, I woke up being like, I'm going to listen so hard today, but there's a bird outside. And I think I need to tell someone a story about a dog that I saw. And it's like,
yes.
Well, life is hard. Asia, here's another question.
Yeah.
You think that there's like somebody out there for everybody? Like, do you think there's like a puzzle piece for everybody? Or do you think there are some people who are meant to be sad and alone?
Huh? I do think that there is a match for everybody. Yes, 100%. I think someone out there is like your soulmate. I really do think that. I believe in that. I feel like we are all put on this earth to love, to be kind to one another. And like when you find your match, I think that is when it's really going to like come together. And it's kind of like you have your eureka aha moment. So yeah, I don't think no one should be by themselves. I feel like that is not the way God may intended us to be. And so yeah, everyone's match is out there somewhere.
Oh, wait, are you religious? Has me saying curse words been bad? Do you hate me?
Hell no, girl.
Okay, good. Good. Because we have come to the end. Asia, do you have anything that you want to promote?
I mean, like, I can always promote my candles. I have a candle business. It's called Burnt Wax Candles. It's named after all of my accolades that I have. So it's like a little piece of me in your home. It's a lot of fun. I love candles. I love aromatherapy. It's something that my mom and I started. My business partner, business partner/mom started. Mm-hmm. And it's been tons of fun just watching it come to life. We just got a Dear Black Girls candle that smells amazing. So yeah, you can go online. We have a Facebook. We have a Instagram and obviously an online site to buy the candles. So yes, go get you a candle.
I love that. And your book is available, Dear Black Girls.
Yes.
Asia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. And if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe and give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something nasty hitting on me, and you can submit it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. Okay. This person said, oh my God, these are all so long. You guys, they don't have to be this long. These are so long. Okay. What's her name? Hi, Nicole. First, I'd like to take you on a date for a romantic dinner at the beach. After, we'd return to my place where we'd sip on wine and engage in conversation. However, about 30 minutes in the conversation, I'll start asking you oddly specific questions. Who played Carla Purdy in The Nutty Professor? You'll look at me confused. Who's the actress who played Niobe in The Matrix? You're still not sure. I continue. Who is the actress who has alopecia? Finally, you catch on and say, are you talking about Jada Pinkett Smith? At which point I'll scream at the top of my lungs, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth, and then slap you across the face with my 10-inch cock. Shocked, you'll say, wow, why did you just cock slap me? And I'll repeat, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth and put my cock in it. At which point you'll suck me off to completion and then we'll tee-hee-hee about the most obscene moment in television history. That was the wildest one and I loved it. Thank you.
There's no way.
Bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. With talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Yeah.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.